How Not to Sail, sponsored by Latitudes and Attitudes. They ruined my life, so why not let them ruin yours today? At latsats.com.
I'm afraid the cutlass bearing's coming out again. We're running a little rougher.
Wouldn't you know it? So I finally set off on my trip around Florida.
Remind me why you're doing this again?
Because otherwise there's no story.
If you haven't already, I encourage you to start with episode one. But the short story is, I've decided to launch this podcast by sailing alone around Florida from St. Pete to the boat show in Miami and back. Tanya, who we'll call the Admiral, is scheduled to fly in and meet me.
Okay, be careful. Love you.
Love you too.
I've been having some propulsion problems, which some folks might think isn't a big deal on a sailboat. But since you've heard the first three episodes, you, of course, know better than that. As I escape the fog around Pasagril and head south towards the home of the cheeseburger in paradise, I notice that the vibration is picking up, and I think the cutlass bearing may be coming loose again. And I have about eight more days to get the 300 miles or so to Miami at 6 miles an hour. What could possibly go wrong? After anchoring overnight in the Gulf of Mexico off Venice, Florida, because there was no room at the Crow's Nest Marina, I'm continuing south toward Boca Grande. Or is that Boca Grande? Or Boca Grande? Anyway, that's not my destination. My destination is a little island south of the large Boca Grande Inlet called Cabbage Key. Cabbage Key is a little resort built on an old shell mound at mile marker 60 on the Intracoastal Waterway, and it is 100% old Florida. No pool, no pets, and the bar rolls up by 10 o'clock, which is just the way I like it. So don't go there, I want it all to myself. But if you do, tell them I sent you. Unless you have a seaplane or a helicopter, the only way to get to Cabbage Key is by boat. And if you don't have your own, you'll probably arrive on a big riverboat named the Lady Chadwick, which, when it's pulling up to the Cabbage Key dock, will almost certainly be playing a song about a cheeseburger in paradise. And that's because legend has it that Cabbage Key is the very place about which Jimmy Buffett wrote the song we all know so well. No, I'm not going to play it. But just hold that trop rock thought for a minute. Anyway, I'm still a few miles north, approaching through the Boca Grande Swash Channel, which I can't officially recommend. Just in case you don't know, many of the entrance channels in southwest Florida, like Boca Grande and Tampa Bay, have dangerous shoals on either side of the channel. And to avoid those, you may have to go 2 or 3 miles offshore, which in a sailboat can take an extra hour at best. But local knowledge has it that the Boca Grande and Tampa Bay channels have little unofficial channels on the north side, close to shore, which I cannot confirm or deny. But it was while I was in the Swash Channel at Boca Grande, close enough to wave at the folks on the beach, that I noticed the extra vibration. And I had a pretty good hunch what it was. Now, in this case, I felt the change in vibration. But in most cases, it's a sound that makes me sit up straight like Roy Scheider in Jaws when he gets a look at the great white. And just before he delivers that ultimate catchphrase, "You're gonna need a bigger boat." Maybe it's because I'm an audio guy. But if you've been cruising on your own boat for any length of time, I don't have to tell you how important sounds are. There are all kind of regular sounds on a sailboat, and each boat has its own flavor. On JC Sails, water dripping into the bilge after running the engine for hours. The creaking of the bulkheads underway. the rubbing of rubber fenders between the boat and the dock when they're properly placed. These sounds are all normal and, mostly to me, kind of peaceful. Contrary to most power boaters, I even enjoy the clanging of all the halyards against all the masts in the marina when there's a breeze. As long as it's not my mast, that is. There's usually quite a cocktail of sounds going on all the time that I usually don't even think about. But in the midst of all these, sometimes a sound will pop up where it doesn't belong. A sound that'll make you bolt upright from a dead sleep and run up on deck in the blowing rain in your underwear to fix something. At the moment, though, what I have is a cockpit that's a little more rumbly under my feet than usual. But I figure once I get through the swash channel okay, I'll be in pretty good shape. If things go to hell in a handbasket, I can just sail and anchor off Yuseppa Island across from Cabbage Key. And as long as things hold together until I get through the rather shallow channel at Cabbage Key to the dock, I'll be golden. Assuming they have a place for me.
I haven't got a text back from Ken at Cabbage Key yet. I hope they're expecting me.
That would be Ken Wells. His father Rob Wells bought Cabbage Key in 1976, and Ken runs the joint these days. I met Rob Wells Sr. on my first trip south a few years ago, and I could tell he thought I was crazy or stupid to be sailing to Marathon by myself. He is a quick judge of character. I'm hoping to get a quick interview with Mr. Wells about Cabbage Key, but he could be an elusive subject. And before I leave Cabbage Key, I need to dive on that cutlass bearing again. Oh, and there's one other task I need to complete. So I may have forgotten to mention, but I do a Saturday show on pirate radio called the Captain Billy Shine Show. It goes a little something like this. Captain Billy Shine here with the mailbag, where we answer your questions about all things nautical and stuff about boats, too. We're coming to you today live from the Dixie Tavern in Smyrna, just west of the Chattahoochee. The food's not as good as Pete's Pig Jig, but they got live music every so often. Anyway, today's question comes from Dennis in Gulfport, who says, "Hey, Captain Billy, I was just wondering, how'd you come to name your boat Windbreaker?" Well, Dennis, that's a good question. A lot of folks seem to name their vessel by combining a word that has to do with nature with a word that has to do with performing some activity, like Moondancer. So you might think that old Captain Billy came up with Windbreaker the same way. But that's not exactly how it happened in this case. You see, the same day I bought Windbreaker, me and my buddy were just leaving all-you-can-eat burrito night at Los Huevos, feeling good and full, when all of a sudden, it hit me like a thunderclap. I'd left my jacket at Los Huevos. Glad I could help, Dennis. And remember, for more nautical advice from me, Captain Billy Shine, catch me on Saturdays 1 to 6 right here for the Captain Billy Shine Show. Well, okay, that's actually my weekday bit that plays in drive time. I do a 5-hour show on Saturdays, and I'm planning to do this week's show from Cabbage Key, if I make it.
JC Sales, this is Cabbage Key. Captain, switch and answer channel 11, channel 1-1.
So, in what seemed an unusual spate of good luck, the cutlass bearing held out, Ken was expecting me, and I got my usual spot on the southeast end of the docks, got my power connected, got my fenders arranged in what I thought was a pretty good setup to keep me from rubbing on the dock. Now all I have to do in the next 2 days is try to pin down an interview, put out a 5-hour radio show, in character, get under the boat again to check my cutlass bearing, and maybe enjoy a little downtime in between. We'll see how that goes. But first, speaking of downtime, here's a very important little piece of information, and I'll be back in about 30 seconds.
Smooth seas and blue skies.
Bob had a problem. You see, Bob had a magazine.
And then Bob ran into some trouble and lost his magazine, Latitudes and Attitudes. But guess what? America's number one boating lifestyle magazine is back again as Latitudes and Attitudes. Check it out today at latsats.com. Yeah, so that's pretty much the story. The cruising magazine that I got into cruising with, Latitudes and Attitudes, transformed into Cruising Outpost after Bob Bitchin got screwed over by a very unscrupulous fellow who shut down their offices and moved to South America. Or something like that. But now they're back as Latitudes and Attitudes, and we are super happy about that. Meanwhile, back at Cabbage Key, after getting semi-squared away, I ambled down the dock, past the white wooden boathouse with its unique admonition to shower with a friend, painted in green block letters, up the hill, past the tortoises and mallards on the front lawn, and into the inn to find a beverage and see if I could secure an interview with Rob Wells. I found both an adult beverage and Mr. Wells in the small bar. He asked about my cruise to Cuba and other travels, and we made general arrangements to talk the next morning at breakfast and presumably get an interview. I was thinking maybe we could hop in a golf cart and talk as we toured the island, but I wasn't going to be picky. Nobody would be able to tell me better what it's like to buy an island and run an old-school resort on it than Rob Wells. And Cabbage Key has been an important waypoint on my cruises for several years, so it was a relief to see my interview plans start to gel. After a fine dinner of stone crab, I retired to the boat to get a good rest at a dock before the next day's interview, pirate radio fun, and boat maintenance fun. As I walked out to the end of the T dock to JC Sales, I noticed there'd been a little more tide than I thought, and the hull had been rubbing on a 2x8 board on the dock. Fortunately, there hadn't been a lot of pressure on it, and the corner of the board was already worn smooth by countless boats before us. So no harm, no foul. As is often the case with docks, there was also a nasty-looking bolt which stuck out just slightly, but we'd managed to avoid that. From previous painful experience, bolts are now one of the first things I look for when coming into a dock. I readjusted the two fenders I'd hung right at that part of the dock and went to bed early.
Hi. Hey, Jim.
Good, how are you?
I'm doing.
Good.
At breakfast the next morning, there was a wrinkle in my plans. Mr. Wells had gone quail hunting. Okay, so I guess that interview's not going to happen. That was kind of the focus of my stop here, but okay. Maybe there's a plan B. I know Ken Wells is busy and isn't real keen on public speaking, but maybe I can recruit my friend Mark, the manager. He actually stayed on the island during Hurricane Irma and knows everything about the place. Of course, he's even busier than everybody else. But meanwhile, I have a radio show to do.
Captain Billy Shine with you this fine Saturday. I hope you got your toes in the sand and a cold drink in hand. I'm here at Cabbage Key on my way over to the Miami Boat Show for the Cruisers Party, sponsored by Cruising Outpost and Pirate Radio.
Pirate Radio, and that's pirate with a Y, is a network that plays a certain cross-section of music that stretches from Jimmy Buffett to reggae to some classic rock to country artists like Kenny Chesney and quasi-country groups like Zac Brown Band and a whole group of indie artists, all of whom have one thing in common: a love for the beach and saltwater lifestyle.
I don't want to be Buffett, I just want to be me.
There's a name for this kind of music, and it's called trop rock. In fact, as I wrap up the Captain Billy Shine show for the day, I'm thinking we might need an episode on trop rock soon. I know some people.
That's my buddy Eric Stone. I'm on my way around to Miami to meet old Eric and the Cruising Outpost and Pirate Radio crew for the Cruisers Party on February 16th, God willing. So I'll see you there.
Anyway, that's one thing accomplished. I guess I should have a look at that cutlass bearing now. So as it turns out, the set screws are a little loose, but they aren't terrible. And I'm able to tighten them back up without having to deploy the hookah rig, which right about now seems like an unnecessary tub full of heavy gear taking up space in the cabin. As I rinse off my gear and myself in the boathouse shower, I'm feeling pretty good, even though I missed out on recording Mr. Wells. I can maybe grab some more sound effects, enjoy another fine dinner at the inn, and see if somehow I can get an interview before I leave tomorrow. Or maybe I can get an interview on the way back. But I can't stay any longer. I need to be in Miami in a week, and there's a long way to go. I've got everything more or less ready to depart for the Keys, and I'll need to leave after breakfast tomorrow in order to drop the hook off Marco Island in the evening on the way to Marathon. But in the middle of the night, a sound. I knew immediately this sound didn't belong. Something was scraping on the hull, right against the quarter berth where I was sleeping. I went outside into the wind and rain and found that it was the bolt on the dock. I thought I'd correctly readjusted the fenders after the first evening. But just like Bob Bitchin in Episode 1, backing into the same pile of rocks twice, I may have gotten a little careless. I quickly did some rearranging and retreated back to the cabin. I wasn't sure how much damage I'd done, but it was done, and I'd find out in the morning. So, in the morning, I get out and have a look at the hull, and the damage is... meh. I've had worse. The scraping from the bolt is mostly just into the outer gel coat here. And if I haven't made clear, J.C. Sales, my 36-year-old sailboat, is not the same kind of creature as some of the other bright and shiny boats you might see. I have a limited budget, and I live in Atlanta, and I want to use my boat a lot. In fact, I've put 5,000 miles on her in the last 6 years. So each year J.C. Sales has been in saltwater, she's been slipping just a little further into decay and disrepair. I don't mean she's a floating fire trap like you might see permanently anchored in certain bays. But certain things are slipping, like the prop shaft that's probably just slightly bent, which is probably why the cutlass bearing wants to keep coming loose. And then there's the hull, which is starting to show some scars, largely from docks and bolts and things. To fix a lot of these things, I'll need to have the 9-ton boat hauled out of the water to be worked on. And I don't want to do that until I have to. For now, I need to keep moving south to Marathon, and then east to Miami.
Thank you, sir. You too, Jeff. See you soon.
As I depart Cabbage Key and head south down the Pine Island Sound to jump back into the Gulf, I've got one interview recorded with Bob Bitchin, a theme song for the podcast, and, well, that's about it. I was thinking that Cabbage Key could be Episode 2, that it was a shoe-in. And maybe that'll still work if I can get a good interview on the way back. If not, I'm sure something else interesting will happen on the way. Be sure to join us next episode as I head south towards the Everglades, Florida Bay, and the Florida Keys. What could possibly go wrong? Big thanks to everyone who's left the nice 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts and elsewhere, and everybody who's jumped on the email list. I couldn't possibly be more grateful.
Well, I could be even more grateful if you could just share How Not to Sail with one other person. You could actually help this little flotilla double overnight. And how cool would that be? And feel free to crow about it a little in the episode comments. You deserve it. You can also get in on the Facebook group by just going to hownottosail.com/community. You can also catch me on the Twitters at HowNotToSail and on Instagram at Bradford Rogers. I sure appreciate you listening, and I'll see you next time on
How Not to Sail. Screwing up is part of cruising. Let me show you how.